You're listening to Vatican Radio. The fight against poverty and the inclusion of the marginalised in a new vision of social solidarity is a key theme in the first major document of Pope Francis's pontificate, the Apostolic Exhortation Evangelii Gaudium, that was published at the end of November. To take a closer look at how the new pope contributes to the long-standing social teaching of the Church, often described as its best-kept secret, I spoke with Father Augusto Zampini Davis, a moral theologian from the Diocese of San Isidro in the Argentinian capital. He's currently doing research in the UK on linking theology to economic development, and he took part in a recent Vatican workshop at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences entitled The Emergency of the Socially Excluded.
It was fascinating to listen to different voices in the core of the Vatican, meaning representatives from social movements from Argentina and Brazil, economists, quite important economists such as Jeffrey Sachs from Columbia University, who is not a Christian even, politicians, theologians, philosophers. It was fascinating, the different voices. And the whole point was, well, there was an initiative from the Pope. He said, well, we should start studying deeply the issues around the excluded and the marginalized. And the important is, it's not the exclusion and marginalization or poverty, it's the excluded and the marginalized, because the focus should be on the people and then study the phenomena around them and how to help them to improve their quality of lives.
It's a significant shift in perspective, isn't it, on the part of the Church from reaching out to the margins to an attitude of listening to what people on the margins have to say.
Precisely. So, yeah, I think the new emphasis, I would say it's not entirely new, but the new emphasis is where the Pope says that he likes a church in the margins and we should go to the margins and think from there. And yeah, that's a new way of thinking, and perhaps, or we hope, that also new outcomes would be reached because of this new approach.
You're talking about new outcomes. It seems to be certainly a pivotal moment. Give us some very practical ideas of how you see changes already perhaps emerging.
Yeah, well, just a brief example of yesterday's workshop. Just to listen to the representatives of the movements of the cartoneros, which is these people that they go around the streets in Buenos Aires searching for something in the streets. Just to listen to the voices of these people or their representatives. And he was sitting next to Jeffrey Sachs, which is an important economist. And on the other hand, also it was good for him to listen to voices of economists and politicians such as Romano Prodi, and philosophers of Rocco Buttiglione. So this kind of new dialogue, I'm not saying that we are actually dialoguing. I think it's the beginning of a process. But this beginning, I think, is really helpful. And we ended full of hope. That's the new outcome. We have hope. I mean, reality, or the final reality of human beings, cannot be poverty and exclusion and marginalization, cannot be the final reality of people. And the Church is willing to offer a place where different voices can come along and create new alternatives, because that's the problem. The thing is how to create alternatives to the present model.
The Church has a long history, over a century, of strong social teaching focusing on the voice of the marginalised, and yet it's often called the best-kept secret. Why is this, and how do you break through this?
Well, there are many reasons. Probably one reason is because this was a section, or used to be a section, of the Church working outside the Church or in the margins. I mean, working with issues such as the problem of work and the capital, the problem of peace, the problem of unemployment, of malnutrition. But perhaps this was people of goodwill inside the Church doing good things for others who were outside the Church. I think that what's different now is we realize that the dynamic is different. The dynamics is we also have marginalized people inside the Church. And this thing about being good with the poor or doing charity is a limited understanding of charity. Charity is, broadly understood, is about also justice. It's about creating structures where people can flourish. And as you said, this is not new. I mean, the Church has said that. Even Benedict in the encyclical Caritas in Veritate, he was very clear on this. But even the Catholics, they don't know what Caritas in Veritate says. But with Francis, with just these signs of embracing this poor man with lots of handicapped man. Or I was once in a mass at St. Peter's Square, and this thing about embracing every single children or handicapped people, I mean, that has more impact. So the awareness of the Catholic world about our attitude towards the poor is different. That might be. So this best kept secret, I hope that it's going to be better known.
It's true that a picture speaks more than 1,000 words in this case, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And the strange thing about Pope Francis is that I'm not sure that he's totally aware of the impact of his symbols or signs, because I'm from Buenos Aires, and he used to do these kind of things in Buenos Aires, but he was very, very, very low profile, especially in the media. But now, because he's the Pope, he's doing the same, but because he's the Pope, he has all this mass media covered. And so this is raising the awareness for the attitude that we should have as Christians towards the poor. I mean, it's not, oh, poor things, we have to help them. It's, they are our brothers and sisters, and we have to embrace them, and they can teach us also something to us.
This attitude, this theme of the Church of the Poor is at the heart of his apostolic exhortation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Give us, first of all, your reactions to that document.
Well, my reactions is, I suppose, like many people, at least in this workshop, I mean, we are all very, very, very happy that the Pope is explicitly bringing hope that a church is open to the world, that the church is open to dialogue, and that the church has a prophetic voice in this system that is creating millions of excluded and marginalized and poor people. And we need to talk about that. We cannot just say, well, this is the collateral damage of a system. Well, if this is the collateral damage, if millions or billions of people are living in inhumane conditions, then we need to change the system. We don't know how to do it. We don't know what the new system should be, but we know that we should start ideating new things. So one of the core things that the Evangelio Gaudium says is this globalization of indifference. We cannot be indifferent. And secondly, also, some of the media, particularly in the US, they have highly criticized the Pope, accusing him of being a Marxist or something like that. I think they misunderstood the document. What the Pope is trying to say is he's provoking, he's provocative on purpose, like Jesus was. But he is highly respectful of people who work on companies or who are entrepreneurs and who want to create wealth. But his whole point is, if our business generates unprecedented levels of inequality, then we should do something about it.
He tackles head on, doesn't he, the idea that the trickle-down effect can bring wealth to the poor as well. He says, from my experience, it simply doesn't work.
Yes, and I was surprised to listen to those criticisms from some bloggers particularly, because the trickle-down effect is being criticized from an economics point of view. I mean, I'm studying the relationship between economics and theology, and you have Nobel Prizes in economics, such as Amartya Sen, Joseph Stiglitz. They are overtly criticizing the trickle-down effect because it has never occurred and will never occur. This doesn't mean that creating wealth is bad itself. Of course, we have to create wealth, but we cannot expect this wealth to trickle down to the ones who are at the bottom. I mean, the good thing about Catholic social teaching and the Pope is we should start with the poor, and therefore we can build something that is flourishing for all. But we should start by listening to them and trying to ideate a system that is a bottom-up approach. But this is not new for economists. In economics, there's also a debate about this. So I don't know. And another thing that we have to read the entire document. We cannot just pick up. Because one thing that the Pope says is, this document doesn't pretend to say everything. And we have 100 years of social tradition, so I'm relying on what we had said already. But this is the new situation. So Catholic social teaching is always trying to respond to a particular moment of history.
And it's particularly coming from his own personal experience, isn't it, there in Buenos Aires. Tell us a little bit about his experience there as you saw it in action.
His experience, I would say, is probably twofold related. One is about the church. I mean, he really promoted a church that is more democratic in the sense, not of political sense, but in the sense of collegiality. And this, again, is bottom-up approach. And this is just to point out the coherence of Francis' thought. So even in the church that is really, really hierarchical, he was listening to the people in the parishes. He was listening to a parish priest, to the other bishop, and say, what is the need of this parish? What is the need of this particular region? It took a while to the people to understand that he was truly asking for that. So at the beginning, they normally tend to say what they thought the bishop wanted to hear. And then when they realize, oh, hold on, he's taken on board our words, so better say what we need. So I would suggest he's doing, trying to do this worldwide with a new survey inside the church. So in Buenos Aires, we had an experience. We spent a lot of years to trying to understand this. So I suggest we don't have to spend these years worldwide. Better start saying what we think. And the same in social issues or social concerns. He was a bishop that he used to celebrate in shanty towns, in hospitals, in hospice, with the people, the main liturgical celebrations, Easter, Christmas, and he used to travel in public transport. So he was aware of the difficulties of the people, and he supported every single person working for the poor, whether nuns, priests, NGOs, non-Christians.
You have a story, don't you, of one of your first experiences of working with Cardinal Bergoglio, or Archbishop Bergoglio?
Well, yeah, I was working not in his diocese, but the diocese next to Buenos Aires, and part of my work was to travel all around the islands of the delta of the River Plate, and our boat was really, really crap, and we needed a new boat, and we were struggling. And suddenly, there's a bishop who would, from his pocket money, would buy us a new boat. Oh, that's amazing, but it's not our bishop, isn't, you know, and that was Cardinal Bergoglio. But he knew the work we are doing there in the Delta, and he wanted to support us. And something similar happens, I would say, all around Buenos Aires.
How bad is the situation today for the poor? How much is there still the great need for the kind of work that he was doing?
Well, I think, at least in Argentina, there are two kinds of, broadly speaking, there are two kinds of poverty. One is urban marginalization. That is, this is locating in the favelas or the shanty towns, what we call villas miserias, or towns of miseries. So the things there are pretty bad in terms of human well-being, because there's a lot of violence, a lot of drug addictions, and violence from all sorts. I mean, physical violence in households, police, lack of decent employment, of course, undernourishment. So perhaps, of course, if you compare this from 10 years ago, perhaps they're a bit better off. But the conditions to flourish are really, really bad. So that prevents them to live a life that is worth living. So that's one kind of poverty. And the other is the rural poverty. Perhaps the conditions, naturally speaking, are a bit better, but I would say, culturally speaking and materially speaking, are a bit worse. And this resonates with poverty worldwide. I mean, you have rural poverty basically in Africa, and you have also urban marginalization in lots of towns in Asia, but now in big towns in rich countries as well. I'm based in the UK, and you will be surprised. Our neighborhoods are in London, one of the richest cities in the world. The conditions they live in these neighborhoods next to Canary Wharf. So I think it's very timely, Pope Francis Evangelium Gaudium, because he's not just criticizing, the whole world is wrong. Well, he's just saying we need to do something about it, because there's hope. Jesus is calling us to transform this reality. I mean, to wake up what we have already inside, that is our desire for justice and for that better world.
His is a very direct appeal, isn't it? Not just to Catholics, not just to Christians, people of faith, but to world leaders, political leaders, economists as well. How much impact do you think it is having, or it will have, on this struggle for justice?
I think it's already having an incredible impact. But again, it's a different dialogue, because it's not just the hierarchy of the church talking with business leaders. I mean, I think it's the church providing a place where the business leaders can listen to the poor. And I think the church is one of the best institutions to provide this service of a place where we can listen to each other in order to create a different world. It's a different approach. And what I've been talking with people, I think they like this approach. They prefer this approach, even from in the business world, because it's more real. It's transformative. It's not just, another meeting because the church wants us to be good. No. We can do good in our business. That's the challenge. It's not what we can do with our free time after earning a lot of money. It's how much good can we do in our own business, or how much harm can we prevent. I think that's the challenge. And they feel my perception, working this dialogue between business and theology, my perception is they prefer this approach because it's more real. They know that they have to listen to the poor. They don't know how to do it. The poor know that we need business, we need money, we need work, we need somebody who can employ us. And the church can provide this space, I think.
My thanks there to Father Augusto Zampini Davis, a moral theologian from the Diocese of San Isidro in Argentina.